Well, God bless each of you. It's an honor to be here and worship the Almighty God with you. I greet you in Christ's name and also bring greetings from the brothers and sisters at Heritage Mennonite as well. And now, I've never been here before. My name is Jesse Christner, as was mentioned. My wife Lil's here. Two of our children are here, Katrina and Jethro. And my oldest daughter is now with the youth, so she's not here. They're going on a kayaking trip this weekend. So, yeah, I am grateful that I know a few of you. I'll try not to be intimidated. I go every Tuesday down to the Noble County Prison, and I and some others, we try to encourage that group of people down there. It's a pretty nice sized group of people comes out, men. And surely you wouldn't be as scary as them. I'm pretty relaxed around them. They're murderers and rapists and pretty bad thugs, some of them. But God, the Redeemer, is working in their hearts. Can you imagine that? These are rough characters. And I do like to see the polish here, but God knows our hearts. That's for sure. And God knows you need his redemption. And I'm not knocking you, I'm just saying. I need his redemption. I'm not telling you anything I wouldn't tell to myself. Turn with me to John chapter 14. The beloved disciple gave us a gospel here. And we'll be looking at chapter 15, not 14. Before I get into that, I just want to say again, thank you for the opportunity to come and share. I kind of volunteered to actually come, but that's because of the investment people have made into my life. I'd say about 12 years ago, I was living out west yet, in Fairfield, Montana, and we're going through some pretty hard church situations. And there was two of the Byler brothers from Bonner's Ferry, Idaho. They flew over one Sunday morning. They were pilots, so they had a little airplane. I suppose they needed to build some hours, do some hours. I don't know. But they voluntarily came over. We were down to one preacher at the time at our church, and they flew over. It was an hour and a half flight, but 6 hours on the road. He flew over, and just one Sunday morning just shared the word with us, both of them. And it just made a huge impression on me. This idea of dragging your feet when you're asked to share for Jesus is ridiculous. So I try not to do that. I'm honored to be able to share a little bit for Jesus, try to encourage you. What is your vision? What is it that you're trying to do? My subject this morning is I'm trying to, in my own life, I'm trying to live a meaningful life. And so that's what I'm going to talk about, how we can have a more meaningful life. At our men's meeting a few weeks ago, Jonathan, our bishop there, Jonathan Raber, he asked all of us men to share a vision statement. Write up a paper. Lay out your vision statement for the church. What do you want this church to look like? What's this all about? What's our purpose here? What are we trying to do? Where are we trying to go? And that was kind of hard for me, you know, because really, I would like to have a wonderful, glowing vision and really lay it out. But my life hasn't been that way. I've tried a lot of things that seem like they've not gone maybe that great. And you kind of feel beat down sometimes. You go, phew, I don't know. I don't know what we're really trying to do. I don't really know where I'm supposed to head or what it's about. You know, you're going to get that way. And so, but it was good for me to write out a vision statement, and I would love to know what the rest of our men at church have to say, what their vision for the church is. Maybe you all men should do that and hand in a paper to your ministry, and they could kind of have something to work off of, right? Maybe some vision. Maybe they need some vision from you. I don't know. Might be interesting. Now, Jesus says in John chapter 15, he says, I am the vine, Folks, it's got to start there with Jesus. And I really enjoyed the Sunday school discussion. You must be born again. Jesus didn't lay out to Nicodemus the fact that the old man's got to die first, or simultaneously, or repeatedly. Paul says, I die daily. And we all want to be a nice person, right? We want to be a successful person. We want to be someone that really makes an impression and a difference in the world. And you wouldn't believe it. You know, you think about it. You know, at someone's funeral, you've had a lot of them here. And it's a little ironic, and we know how it works. But when someone passes away, that's when they become famous. That's when people say nice things about them. You know how it works. Oh, what a nice guy. And it's maybe true, but he's dead and gone now. People will have lots of nice things to say about you, but you have to die first. What if you could die to self before you actually physically died? Wouldn't that give people grounds to say nice things while you're still around? Maybe even Jesus would be able to put his life into you. You can't walk in the flesh and walk in the spirit at the same time. I was really encouraged by the Duck Dynasty hero, Phil Robertson. And you're probably familiar with the Duck Dynasty people. And I'm glad there's not, nobody's got that much hair. But anyway, so they like a lot of hair, whatever that is. But Phil Robertson, he has got quite the testimony. And when he was breaking away from his drinking and his old life and getting back together with his wife, Kay, his friends would come to his house and invite him out. I'd say, let's go out. We'll just have a few beers. We're going to party a little bit. And he said, that Phil died. He doesn't live anymore. No Phil is going with you again like that. I'm a new man. He explained it to him. And he meant it. And that's the way we need to be too. We need to leave those things behind and be a new man. Let's read John 15. It says in verse 1, I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in love, in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, But I have chosen you and ordained you. In other words, you have a purpose, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he shall give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, because I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now have they no cloak for their sin. It's exposed. Their sin's exposed. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. This cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. A lot of verses there, and I'm not going to go into all of them. But you see a harmony. We were singing this morning. We were making harmony with our music. We were, as part of our worship to God. It gets our hearts in tune. Harmony. The harmony of Jesus with his Father, Jesus with his children, with us. It's beautiful. But pretty different, isn't it? Very different. The Father is not the same as Jesus, and yet they are the same. But there's some drastic difference there. And I wish I understood it better. Maybe some of you do. But we know there's a drastic difference between us and Jesus, right? You say, wow, big difference. How are we in the same camp? It's a mystery. But he cares about us. So much he calls us friends. He doesn't say servants, he says friends. And yet we serve him, right? So it's interesting. This harmony. Now, obviously Jesus has a very big heart to take us kind of people and to restore us and to want us way before we were lovable. How big is Jesus' heart? But it's small enough to relate. It's small enough. He's personable. He's like, you can talk to him. Like, he understands you. But he's strong enough to support you in any circumstance. He's wide enough to encompass any situation life throws at you. He's high enough and deep enough. His heart, huge. It's enormous. His heart will go bring you up from however deep you go. If you're proud, he can bring you down. He can reach you. He'll reach you from wherever you're at. You can't get away from it. Just a side note, when I accepted Christ, I made reference to I used the terminology, if I remember right. I invited Jesus into my heart. That was the thought. That's a very good thing. You should all do that. But I think it's a little more precious if we invite Jesus to take our heart. Just take the whole thing. He can do amazing stuff with your heart. Bring it into harmony with Himself. Bring it into harmony with people. Bring it into harmony with life. Give life the meaning that I'm looking for. We're not getting it right always. That's all right. I noticed your singing this morning. It was beautiful. But every now and then I'd catch a little something. Somebody'd stumble a little. Did you notice? There's something, you know. There's a little bit of, and everybody kind of tried to adjust and kind of get in tune again, right? And get in right timing even. And so it was interesting. That's how life is. That's how we are. We walking with Jesus. You kind of go, well, that wasn't quite right. Well, what do you do? Stop? Give up? You say, well, that didn't work. We're going to quit now. No, you keep right on singing and you make those adjustments. So it's beautiful. A lot of days I feel like I'm married cross-cultural. I don't deserve a wife like that. And she's a very fine lady. Very balanced. Very, what's the word? Disciplined. All this stuff. And you know, kind of predictable, kind of steady, kind of, yeah, just really good. And you know, I'm not like that always. I'm late to work. I get harebrained ideas. Let's try this. Let's take this road. You know, let's go. You know, and sometimes in other ways I'm really steady so much as she's like, you know. But so what I'm saying is there's this huge difference between us. And there's differences between you as people in this church. And like I said, there's huge differences between us and Jesus and how this all works out. But it's a harmony. Now, if everybody here was just singing soprano this morning, how would that have gone? Beautiful? Maybe. But it's better with all the parts. But you got to get them kind of harmonizing, right? And so that's what I want to talk about. I've got 6 points of life. They need to be in harmony with each other. And I want to talk about that. Like this chapter we read in John, these various aspects of life. And some of these aspects are in there. And I'll be honest, my inspiration comes from a commencement speech given by Eric Church. He's from North South Carolina. I don't remember where he's from. And my good neighbor across the woods from me was saying, I need to listen to that. And maybe I'd get some inspiration for something. And so I did. And it was really good. Now, he's a believer. But he's speaking at a college or a school of some sort. I think it's a college. And he's got to be careful, you know, how he says everything. So if you look up Eric Church and you listen to his commencement speech, that'd be fine and good. But just know he's... And so I went through that, and I kind of tried to fit that to my life. Because I got a lot. I just was impressed by it. And there's so much to this. And his focus was harmony. He actually used a guitar, and he used these pillars of life, these areas of life, and he paralleled them to all the strings on a guitar. Now, my dad, he started playing guitar when he was 10 years old. He started sneaking Grandpa's guitar and going out to the chicken coop and playing that where he wouldn't be told not to. And he learned to play guitar. So guitar is something I've always, you know, it's kind of been part of. I've never learned to play, but I've always been kind of around it. So maybe that's why this little speech was kind of precious to me. But we have all parts in our singing. But if you notice, probably most of these men on this side were singing bass. And that's like your heavy string on the guitar. They sing in bass. And he likened this, and I would liken it too. That's your faith. That's your mainstay. That's your faith. That's your bass. That's the low one. That's what holds up the song. It's your foundation in a lot of respects to our singing. It's the bulk of it. It's the biggest piece. Now, faith is an interesting thing. You got to have faith, and you better be in harmony and tend to your faith. Your faith is so foundational to the rest of your life. And if any one of these strings or these areas, these pillars of life are out of harmony, nobody has to explain it to you. There's just an honest part of yourself that just hears it and knows it. Right? Nobody has to say, now, if you notice, that was off key. No, when you're singing, you just know it. And the same with life. And if your faith is off key, you just know it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we could go through the faith chapter. We could talk about all those people of faith. But really, it's what you've got left. When you come to the end of human reason, when science runs out of answers and just shrugs and says, I don't know, you have faith. It's your belief about what this life is for. And it needs tended in the ordinary seasons of life. And it will not come undone in the extraordinary. The hard parts of life. We talked about funerals. It keeps, those are hard. There's other things too. There's health crises. The gentleman talking this morning about in his devotion, he's talking about he's aging. That's when your faith will carry you. Build it when you're young, in the ordinary. Tune it. If it's off, listen and adjust it. You have to adjust it. If you're just going to set it one time and forget it. You've all seen people play guitars, video, maybe somebody. They're always tuning it. That's right. They're up there. My dad, he's always fiddling with his guitar. Well, that string's a little, I can't even hear it, but he hears it. But he's listening for it. See, some of us forget to listen for it, right? But listen for this string of faith. Tend it when you don't even know if you need it. It'll carry you when you do need it. The world will try to throw your faith off balance and out of tune. Not always through hard things. This world we live in has some other tricks in its bag. It'll try to throw this one off tune by fullness and busyness, maybe wealth, maybe success in some respect. Maybe it's power. Maybe it's your position where you work or in your church or in some something. Good things. Being busy. You got to be busy. We have way too much to do. We got to get out, you know. But it can knock your faith out of balance, right? All seasons of life. The second pillar is family. You need family. These are the ones that loved you. These are the ones that have changed your diaper. These are the ones that have loved you longer than you've been lovable. These are the ones that know you when you're at the worst. These are the ones that stick through it, stick with you through it. They don't leave you. These are your parents. These are that uncle that mentored you, or that other brother in Christ, or somebody. These are these kind of people. These are a very few. And maybe it's a little bit like those of us that sing a little baritone, you know, that good kind of comfortable. It's where the music kind of gets warm. And it just adds a little warmth, actually a lot of warmth, to the harmony of life. If you didn't have these kind of people, what would life be? Folks, they need cared for too. These are the ones that invested so much into you. But you get busy, and you're being creative, and you're being productive. You're out there living your life wide open, and they know that you about don't have time for them, and they understand that you don't have time for them anymore. But never do that. This Stay connected. Stay connected to your family. Don't wait for the holidays. Don't wait for a wedding or an event to show up for family. Or there's something going on, a reunion. Excuse me. Show up for these people when it costs you something, when it's an inconvenience to you. Show up for them, call them, talk to them, go visit them. Go visit them when you don't have time to go visit them. Keep that in harmony. It's so good for your... We're talking about meaning in life. We're talking about a beautiful harmony in your life, so it's not so off balance, right? And out of key. That's one of the pillars in life, is true. Honor thy father and thy mother, that it may go well with thee, and thou might live long upon the earth. There's a promise with it. It'll bring harmony, and it's warm and good. Do that. Your spouse is a third pillar. Some of you don't have a spouse. So if that's not a string in your guitar, I guess kind of let your thumb hang loose while you come across that one. Maybe the spouse is like the tenor. It's right in the middle. It's kind of the biggest piece in a lot of our lives. It brings a lot of soul to living, the feelings. It just gives body and soul. The tenor gives a lot of body and soul to music, to the harmony. It's the core, the center. Your spouse and your relation to him or her can make or break the harmony and distort all the other areas of life. How you handle this area of life can pull all the other parts out of line, because it's a pretty strong... It carries a lot of weight. It's a pretty strong cord, if you will. Search for your best friend. Now, maybe you've got a best friend. Maybe you don't know her like you ought to. Maybe you don't know him like you ought to. Search for your best friend. Not the things... You don't search for all the things... I'm saying that wrong. But in searching for your best friend, you're not looking for the ones that like all the same things you do. Your best friend doesn't have to like all the same things you do, right? But you focus on your shared values. And you choose wisely. If you haven't chosen a spouse, choose so wisely. This is a big one. This is such a big part of who you are as a person. In your harmony with God and man. Choose wisely, love fiercely. Hang right in there. How hard did Jesus love his church? How fiercely did Jesus love his church? It's tremendous. The fourth one, the fourth pillar I want to talk about, there'd be various ways of looking at this, but it's kind of your attitude or and I'm gonna call it ambition mixed with resilience. And in the middle between them two words, I'm gonna say those two concepts blended together. The concept of ambition and resilience blended together probably are summed up in this word called meekness. And Jonathan just recently shared a really good message on meekness. It spoke to me. Folks, we're not as meek. Well, I'm not. Maybe you are. I hope you are. That'd be great. I would love that. But I'm not as meek as I'd like to be. So what does this combination of ambition and resilience look like? These two pull in different directions. They're like opposites. What do you need? Resilience if you're ambitious, you know? But they're kind of two opposite. So maybe think of Moses a little bit. Boy, he was really going to deliver the Israelites. He was going to get them out of there. These guys were being mistreated. They were God's people. And he knew it was time to get them back up to Israel, to the promised land, the land of Canaan. And so he was going to do that. He was ambitious. He killed the Egyptian. And that's when his little ambition crumbled. He failed at it then at that point. And he ran for his life. But he was resilient because of his walk with God. And years later, God was able to use him and bless that ambition. Folks, I think you should want to do things. You should want to go do that thing. Maybe it's in business. Maybe it's a spiritual thing. Maybe you should want to be a preacher. Can you imagine that? Be all right. Want the thing. Want to do that. Want to serve God. Want to be productive. Make a difference. Want to be the hero. That don't sound real pious. But here's the thing. You're going to fail. You're not going to know how to do it. You don't have the strength to do it. So when you fail, that's where resilience comes in. And that's what kind of meekness to me looks like. It's wanting to be part of God's kingdom. It's wanting to actually do something and to make a difference in life and to go out and be something. But also realizing that you're going to fail at it. But keep working at it and allow God to do it. Caleb was another one. He says, give me this mountain. I'm old. I know I'm old, he says. But I'm still feeling good. And I want this mountain. Now, Caleb didn't try to go do it himself. If you remember, he got his nephew to actually go do it. He was smarter than Moses. Maybe he delegated it, you'd say. I don't know if he was smarter than Moses. Him and Moses were good friends, and they were men of God. But I notice a little difference between Moses' ambition and Caleb's. Caleb said, give me this mountain. But then he got a team together, if you notice. He worked with people. See the harmony in that? He wasn't just out there trying to knock off an Egyptian by himself. Caleb was a team player. So in your ambition, maybe that's a part of it. Be a team player. Work with people. The idea of being fruitful. Now look here in John chapter 15. Look at this verse. Let me see, where are we at here? Verse 2. It says, every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring more forth more fruit. We want to bear fruit. We think, Lord, we're doing good. Or maybe we're going to try to do good. And here comes God's nipper. And he nips off a big chunk of that branch. And God, what do we got left to work with? That's like Moses. He's in the backside of the wilderness. All hung up tending sheep. That's not what, no, God. That's not what I wanted to do. Can you imagine? He wanted to do more than that. We want to do more than that. We don't want to be in the backside of some wilderness tending sheep. And yet, that's where God can teach us. He purges us so we bring forth more fruit. Now, Moses was the kind of person that knew how to work with people. You know how to work with sheep, you know how to work with people. There's some connections there. It's interesting. Has a purifying effect. This being ambitious and wanting to do something for God has a purifying effect. God can see that. Hey, I like that. Now, if I do this, it's actually going to work. He'll be able to do what he wants to do. But it's not going to feel good. You'll come back stronger, though. You'll come back better. You'll come back actually being part of the harmony that you want to be. Another pillar. Pillar number 5, community. And that's the idea of being plugged in somewhere. We alluded to that earlier. Caleb being part of a team, right? Community. And maybe that's the soprano. That's maybe the lead. I don't know. I don't know what you want to call it. But it's a part of the music of our lives. The community that we're part of. We have to be somewhere. You are somebody. And you need to be known in that community, and you need to live somewhere and put your heart into it. Our culture today has a lot of this media stuff on your phones. You know anything about that? You ever heard of technology? You ever heard of that here? Because we talk about it over our way some. We have Facebook, we have Instagram, TikTok, all the different stuff. Hope you don't use all that stuff because you don't have time. We have WhatsApp. Now, there's a little better one, right? We have all this stuff, and we are connected to people that we don't even talk to and don't see. We have no business knowing what they're doing. There's none of our business, but it's interesting to see. And we begin to use those types of things, and we feel like we're part of that, like that would be our community. Folks, that's not your community. That's not who you are. That's not where you're from. That's not where you need to be going. You will be out of tune if that's where you're getting your sense of community. And that's the pull of the world, pulling that chord out of tune. That guitar is going to need some serious tweaking if that's where you're going to be for your sense of community. But you need to live somewhere with real people and put your heart into those real people that God put around you. To be generous with those people. To be warm to them. To be the Jesus that they want to see, that they need to see. Genuine. You avoid the comparisons of what others think you need to do and look like. You have integrity instead. You live your life the way you want, the way you know Jesus would want you to live, the way you need to live. You don't forget who you are, where you come from. And if you do that, Scripture's clear on that. You sow seeds in your community. You're going to reap a harvest from your community. It'll be good music. It'll add meaning to life. It'll be legit. It'll be real. Jesus says, I in you. He says, abide in me and I in you. And that's that give and take in community. Now we, you know, it's really easy to think, you know, abiding in Christ, you know, that's up and down. But how that's played out is horizontal. That's actually how that's played out and lived out in reality tomorrow morning when you go to work or whatever you do through this next week. And the last pillar I have is one I don't even know how to really talk about, but it's there, and it's, I think, very important. And that is simply, I'm going to call it you. It's the you that God says you are. It's the you that God is seeking. God shines light on you. And don't let the world sand down the edges of your identity in Christ. Your identity as who God sees you to be. They'll tell you you're not enough. And truth be told, you're probably not. If you're going to compare this pillar, the pillar of you, to the string on a guitar, you're going to be the smallest string. It's the easiest one pulled out of tune. It's the one people like to push around. Keep tuning that one in. Be who God says you are. Who God wants you to be. Jesus calls you his friend in verse 14 of chapter 15 of John. You're my friends. Imagine that. Verse 16, he says, you're chosen. I want you. I never forget that. No matter where you lose your way at, dial that chord back in. The question was asked in Sunday school class, and I really appreciate it. If Scripture is this way, and all we have to do is look at Jesus and believe, like Moses lift up the serpent on the rod or on the post, and they just had to believe. If it's that type of simple, how come so many people in the world don't just look at it? Well, it's a lot of that. They haven't took care of their you part, their identity. they don't think that they're chosen, really. They don't think they have a head to lift up and look. I guess it's sad. But never forget, you are chosen. God does love you. God doesn't make trash. He doesn't make mistakes. We're all kind of handicapped in some respect, and we're all kind of, we lean one way or another. Some of us worse than others. I was describing myself to one of my friends day before yesterday. I was saying, I feel like I'm an eccentric person. You know what eccentric is? That's how some of us are. But we serve a purpose that way. An eccentric shaft is when you have a shaft, but it does not rotate around its center. The bearing is off to the side, and the shaft kind of like lopes around it, right? Well, that's not great. But that's kind of how some... But in an engine, they have camshafts, and they lift the valves open and close at just the right time. So if you're an eccentric person even, just know you're chosen for a purpose, and don't lose heart. Just be the best wherever God has put you. You are chosen. Develop that. Tune that thing in. And now we were talking about music. And I just found it very interesting because Jonathan was talking lately. I keep referencing Jonathan, but I like the guy. And he's just happens to be that he has been in the last few sermons mentioning a lot of the fruits of the Spirit. Now we have six pillars I mentioned here in this idea of our harmony and our music. And we know all the notes on the scales. Is there 8 of them? And I'm not a music guy. I wish I was. I miss that part of life. But I understand music and light are coordinated. And I really see a lot of coordination between this idea of light and the fruit of the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. What's that look like? What's that like to be in harmony with the Spirit? And I just found it interesting. I'm told the mathematical equations or the arrangement of music matches the light waves of light, all the light colors. All the whole spectrum of light has different wavelengths. You've got all your colors. And there's 7 colors in a rainbow. You take a prism, you shine sunlight through it, and you can split out 7 colors, they say. Red and orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. But there's actually 9. There's 9 fruits of the Spirit. There's 9 colors of light, or 9 maybe kinds of light. On the red side, there's actually a light called infrared, and that's your heat. You take that out of sunlight, the sunlight's not going to feel warm to you. You're going to go out there and mow the grass, and you're not going to sweat. That's infrared light warming you. Very healing, very good for your skin. It's really got a lot of health benefit. I'm not going to go into them. On the bottom side of violet, there's another invisible light that you can't see, and it's called ultraviolet. It's not hot. You don't really feel heat on it. But that's the light that kills bacteria and bugs. I think that's why people don't get sick so much out there when they're in the summertime. You know, in the wintertime, they're inside too much, and the bugs kind of grow, get out of control. They need to get out in the sunshine. Ultraviolet has a purifying effect. It's also referred to as black light. If you're going to have that light by itself, it's referred to as black light. Very revealing. The FBI and all those criminal investigation people, they like to use black light. It'll reveal a fingerprint. You can't see it. I touched the pulpit there. If you shine black light on there, maybe you'd see that. That tends to show up. Dust, gunpowder smoke, and residue all shows up. Those impurities on the surface of objects show up, and they really pop in black light. It's interesting. But you didn't see any light, but you see that object. And so that's a little bit like some of the fruits of the Spirit. You got love, joy, peace, patience, or long-suffering, and that's in Galatians 5, and I don't know if I'm going to go into it. Maybe I will turn to it. Galatians 5, turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. The wonderful fruit of the Spirit. And we want these. We try for them. And it's interesting. How's that work? We get tested. We get purged. And our patience runs short. Galatians 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is all these things I mentioned. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. You see that harmony between these fruit, and you see the harmony in light, and all these light colors, and I'm not going to talk about them all, but they all have a very important part to play, and they're in harmony with each other. And I just think it's just another thing of nature. We referred to how Jesus used nature in John 3, where he's talking to Nicodemus. He used the wind, and he used water, and he used the birth experience. These are natural things to explain. And so my goal this morning is this natural thing of music and the harmony of music. And it's just interesting how it actually mathematically equates to light. Same math. I don't understand all that, but I'm told that it actually carries right over. And the effect of light. We actually talked about that in Sunday school class too, right? So light's so revealing. Go to the light. It'll make you healthy. It'll bring you in harmony in the world you live in. Jesus is the light. And let's just keep going to Jesus and listening for those things and allow him to tune up those areas. You just tune them a little bit. But if you go through life, and you never tune up those little things as you go, the day will come where you're just a bunch of noise, and we don't want that. If we get to the end of a life, and we realize that we were a fraud, we didn't measure up, and that's not what I want for myself, and that's not what I want for any of us. Keep making those little adjustments as you go. And when you're singing in church and you think about how you mess up on the timing a little or the harmony or something, that's how your life is. Keep singing, but adjust a little bit. Keep right on going. And that's what I want to leave with you as an encouragement. Also, I wanted to just mention that I forgot my train of thought there. I wanted to say one other thing. Let me see if I can find that note. I'm spacing it, so I'm sorry I have to leave that one. But God wants to do a big work in us. He really does. When you feel, I don't know how to say this. Life does overwhelm you. And you got two things to cast. You can choose either one. You can't cast them both. But Jesus says not to cast out your confidence. And Jesus says to cast your cares upon him. There's a lot of life that's trying to pull you out of harmony. Cast your cares on Jesus. Don't cast away your confidence. A lot of us have had hard knocks. The older you get, maybe the more. Keep your confidence in Jesus. Cast your fears and anxieties on him. And keep going. Keep living. This is the thought I was going to say, because here's what happens. Ben Franklin made this statement. I should have wrote it down. I didn't get it wrote down. So Benjamin Franklin made the statement. He says there's a lot of people out there that are 26 years old and they die because of failure and because they are not enough in themselves. But they wait 50 years to bury them. In other words, there's a lot of stoics out there that are just doing life. Don't be a stoic, just doing life. Get some meaning to life. Tune the harmony, all the pillars in your life. Let Jesus envelop your heart in His. Walk with Him. That's all I have to share. Let's kneel for a word of prayer.